This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just the Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go. All right, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise by opening up in prayer this morning. Father God, we're here as your servants, children, here set to do your will, wanting to be more like you, wanting to be more like our Daddy God. So, Father, we pray for the leading of your Spirit, your direction, your guidance, and all that we would say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Many dispositions of faith. Now, a disposition is a habit. It's a state of readiness. It's a tendency or act in a specific way. You know, we get in specific trials, we act differently. Certain things come, we react differently depending on our level of self-discipline and our yieldedness to the Word of God. You know, when the Word of God gets into your heart, it has a different response than it does when it's just in your head. You know, scriptures will flee from you in time of trouble if it's just in your head. You'll be trying to think of something, you can't. But when it's down in your heart, it gets down into your belly. Then out of your belly, it flows like rivers of water. And in time of need, the Bible tells you don't meditate in your heart about what you're going to say. Because the Spirit is going to bring up those things that are necessary for that time and that season. Is where that belief system stays currently active. Now, in the mind processes information. It processes the day-to-day events that come at it. It responds. It processes the information. It gives you something to that situation. But in times of desperate trial or in times of need, the things that are inside of you will come up. Someone makes you cut you off in the road. What comes up? Don't answer that. When the doctor gives you some bad news, what comes up? When you get some terrible news about an accident, somebody was in danger in an accident, what comes up? Now, let's talk about a few things here. Now, I want to describe something to you about your faith. Your faith is what brings your thoughts into reality. Now, your faith, we're talking about faith in God, all right? I want to get that clear first. Faith in God, faith in God's word. We're not just talking about the things that you personally believe. That's not what I'm talking about at all. We're talking about your faith based on what God has already said, all right? So with that established, we can get away from the rational mind that just considers things and then analyzes and weighs things out. That's not what we're talking about here today. Your faith will strengthen your will. What you really believe in faith will cause that thing that you want to come to pass. Faith is the force that will fuel your conviction. Faith is the force that will fuel your conviction. Now, what is a conviction? Those are deep-rooted, deep-set belief systems that you have. And if your belief system is deeply rooted in the conviction of God's word, then your faith will fuel that conviction. Now, if you have faith that's not grounded in the word of God, that faith will also fuel your conviction. There's the faith of the world as opposed to the faith of the word. But we're limiting our discussion today to faith that is based on God's word. It's a predominant or prevailing tendencies of one's spirit, whether natural, mental, emotional, or the outlook or the mood or the characteristic attitude of an individual. You know, each of us are different. Each of us have different attitudes, different characteristics. And we respond in different ways into different situations. You know, somebody said that one time that, you know, the only difference between a depression and a recession is a recession is when you hear about it, but a depression is when it's happening to you. It doesn't matter what the economic state is, it's what's going on in your personal life. They say that when the stock market crashed back in the 20s, when people jumped out of the window, it wasn't the fall or them jumping out of the window that killed them. It was when they got down there where the rest of the broke people were. That's what killed them. See, they had already died before they jumped. Because they were broke. Well, we was already broke. We didn't think that was wrong with being, we was already broke. And so sometimes we process information differently. But we're going to need the faith of God that's going to help us to get through it. Now, you must have a renewed mind through the Word of God. Did you know that? Because, see, they're not going to teach you this in school. They're not going to, you know, mom and daddy might have tried to teach it to you at home. But some things are going to be worked out experientially as you go through life. And you renew your mind how? Through the Word of God. Through the processing of the Word. Through the living of the Word. Through the acting out of the Word. You learn in the Word. You grow in grace in the Word. See, faith is not, you know, God, the Bible said that God has given to every man the measure of faith or the capacity to believe. But that capacity to believe is not always faith of God. The faith of God is developed from that measure of faith that you have based on God's Word. And so that's the faith that you have to develop. We become what we say. And what we say, we'll eventually see. So the things that we are processing and the things that we are saying comes from the reservoir of the faith that we have in our hearts. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, when I was going over that, the reason I added that in there is that, you know, we know to mind something is to tend to look after. Those that are of the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But, you know, really, when you look up, and I said I'm going to kind of transpose it just a little bit. You know, when you think about someone who is a miner, who is digging for gold, all right, you have to go through a process to dig up the things that you really need. Now, those that are of the flesh, they really dig up the things of the flesh. You ever heard them in the lunchroom, by the locker room? The gossip. All they do is talk about the thing, and they're always digging up the things of the flesh. And they're always mining the things of the flesh, if I can put it that way. They tending to the things of the flesh. But those that are of the Spirit, we mine the things of the Spirit. We dig up the things of the Spirit. We have to tend to the things that are of the Spirit. Because if we mind the things of the flesh, then we're going to reap corruption. But if we mind those things of the Spirit, then we're going to reap life. Faith is the force of faith that fuels our conviction. It is the spirit of faith that powers and motivates what we believe. Did you know that faith was a spirit? There is a spirit, or I should say faith has a spirit. That there is a spirit of faith that you and I must possess in God. Through His Word, we receive it in order for us to really motivate those things that we believe. It's the spirit of faith. You know, you ever seen cheerleaders? They call them the spirit squad. You know, I was watching television yesterday, and they had this group of cheerleaders, and one of the things they say, when do you need us? You need us when you're about 20, 25 points down in the fourth quarter. And it doesn't look like you're going to win. You're going to need somebody with some spirit, some faith to kind of motivate you to get up and going. Well, the spirit of faith will motivate you when everything that is oppressing you is coming at you. And if you don't have a spirit of faith, then you will succumb to the rational mind and to the current reality that is coming at you. But the spirit of faith is a defiant force. It will defy the things that are coming at you and will not allow you to accept it in your mind as saying that this is it. This is the way it's going to be. No, my faith is based on what God's word has already said. And it's the fuel, it's the spirit, it's the force that would allow me to break through the current situation that we're in and see the reality of God's word manifesting in our lives. Let's talk about the faith of God. Deuteronomy 20, it talks about having faith in different aspects. We're going to start looking at now the different dispositions of faith. Now, Deuteronomy 20 and 30, it talks about children in whom there is no faith. So you got some people, their disposition is they have no faith at all. No faith. What did God say about them? This is what God says. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation. Children in whom is no faith. We're in a generation like that today, ladies and gentlemen. How come we don't see a whole lot about God? How come we don't see God showing up? God said, I'm going to hide my face from them. I'm going to see what's going on. We're going to see the outcome of men working out their own devices. But it also says in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up in him is not upright. You're talking about those who have not trusted in the Lord. It's not upright in him. He said, but the just shall live, by his faith. Your faith is individual. Your quality of life, your substance, your belief system is individual to who you are. But the just of those who have been justified, when we have been freely justified by his grace, the just shall live by his faith. Now, you can't not trust God and be a Christian. You cannot be apprehensive. And when I say Christian, it means Christ-like. You cannot be in a position of being Christ-like and not trust God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Now we see another disposition. We see first the children whom there was no faith. We find out that the just must live by faith. And we're talking about now the people who have the faith of God. See, we say the faith in God. They say the faith of God. The faith of God spoke in the darkness and said, let there be light. And there was light. The faith of God created you and I. The faith of God is what fuels everything because God operates that way. What if some did not believe? You think God is just going to disappear because of your unbelief? You think hell's going to close up shop and disappear just because you don't believe it's there? The faith of God is going to stand sure. It's the word of God is forever settled in heaven. It can't be changed. Matthew 16 and 8. And when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves because you have bought no bread? Now we're talking about people of little faith. So how do you position yourself? What is your disposition? Are you among those who have no faith? Are you among those who are living by faith, who have the faith of God, or those of little faith? Little faith is better than no faith. Believe me. Matthew 17 and 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence into yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, they had just come down from the Mount of Transfigurations. Peter, James, and John, the disciples, was down at the bottom of the mountain trying to cast a demon out of a boy that was possessed, and they could not. They could not do it. But Jesus said that if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, we've been taking this and saying, well, that means all I need is a little bit of faith. Now, I'll turn over with me to Matthew chapter 13. In verse 31, Jesus is talking about how to possess your faith. Verse 31 says, that's Matthew chapter 13. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field, which indeed is the least of all the seed, but when it is grown, It is the greatest among the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. It's talking about treating your faith as a seed. It may start out small. In this parable here, this seed that was planted and cultivated grew. And it grew so large that it became a tree, provided shade and substance, and allowed the fowls of the air to lodge in the branches thereof. See, though your beginning be small, your latter end should greatly increase. So Jesus is saying, although you cannot cast the demon out of the boy today, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed and treat your faith like a seed and develop the faith that's within you, you will say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and it will obey you. If you treat your faith like a seed, if you allow that to be fed, to be cultivated, to be fertilized, how? In the watering of the word. So if we know there's different dispositions of how we are to possess our faith, sometimes we won't feel so bad about where we are right now. Jesus turned to him and he said, oh, ye of little faith. But he said, but if you have faith, the little faith that you have, and you cultivate it, it will grow. Amen. Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. One of the things you have to cultivate out of your life is doubt. Doubt is based on your experiences, the information you receive from the world, the rational mind. Not based on God's word. Because see, God's word is nonsense. It's not something that's necessarily accessed through your sensory mechanisms when I say that. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's not necessarily something that you're going to pick up with your five senses when you're dealing in faith. Faith is a deep-rooted conviction that fuels your belief. It is based on God's word. We're talking about the God kind of faith here today. Mark chapter 2, verse 5, it says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto Sycopalsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now here we have a unique example of you having faith for someone else to be healed. This is the story of one born by four that couldn't get into because of the press of the Sadducees and the Pharisees where Jesus was teaching. Now, they weren't coming to see the healing. They weren't coming to see the miracles. They were coming to try to test him or catch him at his word. They couldn't get in. They had all the naysayers and all the doubters blocking the door. But these men climbed up on the roof, tore up the tiles, and let him down in front of Jesus. And the Bible didn't say to the man on the bed, when I saw your faith, he said, when I seen your faith, the ones that bore him in, he said, now your sins are forgiven. So you could actually intercede and pray for someone else. But did you notice that faith was more than, in this case, was more than a prayer? It was an action. We'll talk about it later if we get to it. If not, about James. James is talking about your faith has to be manifested by what you do. Faith is not a cerebral thought that you just process and meditate on. Faith produces action. Action gets results. In Mark chapter 4, verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Another thing that will kill your faith is fear. First he said, if you have faith and doubt not. If you don't have fear, fear will cancel out your faith if you have fear. So we have to get rid of doubt and fear out of our life. Fear of failure, fear of what might happen. Fear because we're just afraid, period. There are some people who have a spirit of fear, won't even come out of their house. There's people who have phobias. I got a nephew who cannot. If I told him today, nephew, I got $5 million here in Florida. All you have to do is come here and get it. He couldn't get it. He cannot travel. He cannot get in a car. He cannot get in a plane. He can't go. This is a young man, but his phobia keeps him on lockdown. He said, I just can't be in those kind of confined places that long. I can't do it. I said, well, what? I can't do it. It's a spirit. So we want the spirit of faith that will drive out the spirit of fear. It's a total trust in God. It's a more than a trust. It's a trust that is bold enough to act on what God said. It's not a passive faith. It's not a cerebral faith. It's a demonstrative faith. In Mark chapter 5, verse 34, Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. Y'all remember what that was? Who was that? That was the woman with the issue of blood who said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. A woman who was ostracized in her community that wasn't allowed to be any place, had to go around talking about unclean. Because any place she sat, if anybody said that they had to offer sacrifice, they were unclean because of the issue of blood that she had. But she pressed through a crowd. She messed up a whole bunch of folk. She pressed through the crowd because she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. And so she didn't mind the things that were pressing on her, trying to stop her from getting in. And when she touched Jesus and said, because you touched me, you were made whole. That's not what he said to her. He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. A faith that will go beyond the naysayers, all the opposition, even the rules and regulations. And it gets you into a place where you can touch God and receive not only healing, but wholeness. Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. But also have faith positioned in God. Hide yourself in God. Have the faith of God. Speak as though God was speaking. Command it as though God was commanding it. Because you're speaking God's word. See, you got to understand, you're God's representative. You're God's ambassadors. Listen, when an ambassador is overseas and he has an embassy, when he speaks for the United States. He speaks as though the president was speaking. And all of the authority that backs up the United States backs him up when he speaks. You are ambassadors of Christ deployed here in this earth. You are the spiritual police. The welfare of the world has been placed in the hands of the church. And when you speak, it's like E.F. Hutton. Demons got to listen and they got to flee because you're not coming in who you are because you're having faith in God. You're shielded. They don't see you. They see Christ. And when you've gotten to that point, it says no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me in the faith that in the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's no longer I anymore. And so then you have the authority because you're God's representative to represent God in a position to where your words will carry enough force to drive the demons out. But fear, doubt, and unbelief will cause you to get to a position like Pastor Biles talked about last week. And Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But who are you? See, it's got to go beyond the cerebral. It's got to be on just you hearing about it and trying something. You got to live this thing. It's got to manifest in your life because you can't be fearful to lay hands on somebody. Number one, get out of the role of thinking that you are healing someone because you're not. And allow God to flow through you. Allow the power of God to be manifested through you. Don't be, you know, you remember was that Pontius Pilate, I forgot who it was, who done this beautiful speech And they said, he speak as the oracles of God, and he took credit for it. What happened? The worms came and ate him up. God will not give his glory or share his glory with anyone. All glory goes to God. And as long as you can stay positioned, God has no problem flowing through your life. It's when we get out of position. You know, the Bible said that my life is hid in Christ. I got a message one time called Line Up. And when you line up with Christ, if Christ is here, they can't see you. Matter of fact, if we were to get men to line up down the road and somebody in front was to look straight down the road, if we was perfectly lined up, all we would see was a man in front. It's not until we step out of line that they see us. And when we step out of line, we're out there on our own. It's kind of like the boy's mother who went to the military graduation, and they was on the parade field marching in cadence around the field. And she was sitting up way up in the balcony with her friend and said, there's my boy. There he is. He's right there. So how you know that's your son? They all got on the same uniform. He the only one in step. Mother's love. When we get out of step, people notice us. When we get out of line, we expose ourselves. But when we're hid in Christ, we're protected. People know. Luke 7 and 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, in Israel. Now, we're talking about the centurion soldier who had a servant that was at home sick. And Jesus was informed that his servant was at home sick and he was going to go to Jesus' house. The centurion soldier said, no, it's not necessary that you come. I am a man under authority, and I have those that are under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goeth, or do, and he doeth. Just speak the word only. And see, this man recognized the authority of God. And Jesus said, I've never seen so great faith, because he understood the kingdom. He understood authority. He understood that he didn't operate under his own authority. He didn't say, Jesus, I'm a man in authority, and I got men under me. No, he said, I'm a man under authority. He already knew his place. And he knew how things work. He knew how things work in the natural, and they work the same way in the spirit. As long as we stay under authority, we have the authority to command. It's when we get out from under authority that we begin like Adam and Eve. We become a god unto ourselves. That was the bait that got man into sin. You'll be like God, knowing good from evil. In other words, you'll be out from under God's authority. You have your own authority. But guess what? You ain't got enough juice. You ain't got no power backing you up. But when you stay connected to the source, when you stay under authority, you got all power in heaven and earth working in your behalf.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.